JC's in like a ball.
Hi, I'm JC. Welcome to the Forbidden Cities, a Keeper of the Lost Cities podcast. A podcast where Cindy and I talk about Keeper of the Lost Cities books, theories, characters, ships, and more. Hello!
Hi, guys.
And welcome to
Forbidden Cities podcast.
What'd we do?
We got coffee.
And went to eat.
And food.
Mm-hmm.
And hyper.
Mm-hmm.
So, now we get to talk about Sophie's parents.
Yes, and we have 10 pages.
Of wonderful notes.
Yeah. We also had a lot of technical difficulties.
Yes, we've been trying to get this thing to start recording for like almost an hour now.
Oh, yeah.
Between like 7 different problems. Mm-hmm. So, I do want to say really quick, there are legacy spoilers for this episode because of something that happens in Legacy. So if you haven't read that, don't watch this episode.
I'm going to go ahead and say there are also unlocked quotes.
Yeah.
They're not super important quotes, I don't think, but they are in here.
So I'll make sure to edit out anything too important, but we are going to quote Unlocked. So
yes.
If you don't want to hear anything from Unlocked, you should get the book, but don't listen yet.
Should we just go ahead and say JC will edit in whether or not there are major spoilers here?
Yes. If we end up having to spoil something major, I will jump in. My editing self will be like, hey, turn back. Hi, this is editing JC interjecting to say we are about to spoil Unlocked because we get on a rabbit trail up towards, I don't even know when, and I'm not going to say so that I don't say wrong, but we get on a rabbit trail and we have to pull from Unlocked for proofs, and it is amazing. I'm very excited for you to listen to it if you have read Unlocked, but if you haven't, turn away. Unlock spoilers. Do not listen. It will spoil it.
Okay, so we're going to tell you our outline, what we're going to do real quick.
All the people we're going to go through.
Yep.
So the first thing is we're just going to kind of talk about Sophie's mom, because, you know, we found out in Legacy that it was Orly. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see Cindy's long prediction of how she was right about that, and then a bunch of things in the series.
Oh, and how JC predicted Orly was her mom, like, yes, a year after she read the book, the first book, so.
And then we'll go through, like, all kinds of random quotes that you may have missed that were kind of, like, obvious tells that she was her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, you know, her actual empathy tell.
Yep.
And then Sophie's dad will be the second half of this. So I'll ramble on for a little while about various theories about Kenrick.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sydney will talk about... Sorry, I'm trying to find the people. Sydney's going to talk about a little about Tyrgan.
Yeah, well, we're both going to.
Yeah, and then Cindy's mostly going to be the one talking about Elwyn and Gethin, I think,
because
she did a bunch of research on those.
Yep.
And then we have a couple of other theories in here.
Fenton, Grady.
We never find out.
Cassius, and my theory from a few years ago about humans.
So, it's going to be exciting.
Uh-huh, so stick around. Stick around.
We will get past the JC talking about Kenrick in a rally. I've been begging her to do this episode next, and she's like, I need research. And so last night we did a ton of research.
I researched literally from like 5 to 11.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I ate in between that.
So
but
my thing is like, my parts are literally just like Kenrick and Orly, so I knew exactly where I needed to find all of these proofs. So I just like would remember half a quote, find it in the book because I had it bookmarked. Yeah. So yep. I'm excited.
And then also I want to say, for most of this, I'm going to be playing devil's advocate because I have at the moment a preference, not a preference, like a something I
She's
think
a theory.
A theory. But it's not, I'm not putting all my cards on it. I really don't know who her dad is yet.
But she has a theory that she leans towards, and it's not Kenrick.
But, so JC says she has something to combat that, but I...
So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to play devil's advocate for most of this, and then JC is probably going to play.
I'm so excited because I have one thing that I can read that I'm so excited about. Anyway, first of all, Sophie's mom. Now, obviously, we did find out who that is.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't
we're
a lot of...
We're talking so fast.
Yeah.
We're like, coffee.
Yes. We're a little bit hyper, so if we're hard to understand, I'm really sorry.
Mm-hmm. If you hear the next video, next episode...
Yes.
Video. Episode.
we recorded that first, so that's why we're a little more tired in that one.
Yeah, we hadn't gotten our coffee yet, so the episode that comes out next week, I will give a hint towards what it is. It's Google translated quotes. That's mm-hmm. what we asked for quotes for.
It's a game. It's really gonna be fun. Really funny.
But we're losing it, guys. But yes, that's we recorded that one first, so we sound a little bit more tired in that one because we had not yet had our midday coffee. Mm-hmm. So
that needs to be the first thing we do from now on.
Yeah, just go and get like a giant coffee. Mm-hmm. Okay, so first of all, we did find out who her mom is. Did we really have any other theories? Because this was my only theory. Maybe because I just liked her so much, but whenever Sophie was coming up with the other ones, I was like, no, Sophie, mm-hmm. no.
The only other theory that we had for her mom, really, was the human theory. Mm-hmm. But
I never, okay.
I still said, oh, it could be Rally Ann.
So first, Orly is her mom. I predicted it since I first read the books. When was that, like 2017?
That was 2017.
It was either, like, December 2016. I remember I had to wait 9 months for Lodestar to come out. So, can you look at the publication date of Lodestar? Yeah,
I can look.
It's down there.
I think I figured this out last time. I think Never Seen came out in 2016, Christmas, because that's when I started. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. No. Lodestar came out in 2016.
Oh, wow.
Is that right? So,
yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Because I remember saying 2016.
Okay, let's just go with before. That.
Yeah.
It could have been copyrighted before.
That's true. Well, I don't know.
Somewhere around
We'll say that I came up with it in, like, early 2016. Mm-hmm. Because that sounds longer. And so, that was the reason that I settled on the theory of Orly being her mom, is because of her giving Sophie Kenrick's catch. And then whenever Mr. Forkle, she talks about it to Mr. Forkle later, and he's, like, kind of surprised, but not as surprised as he should have been. And then it really settled it in Lodestar whenever, right after Keith destroyed Foxfire, Orly was reading Sophie's emotions, and Sophie was like, no, I was way too emotional to fool an empath. She knew I was lying when I said I didn't see anyone. And Mr. Forkle mm-hmm. goes, well, Counselor Orly has always been your loyal supporter. And I was like, Forkle? And not only that, in Never Seen, she also gave Sophie an imparter, and was like, you know, hail me anytime you need mm-hmm. to. And the Black Swan never questioned that. And so, yeah, it was just a bunch of things, and I was like, you know what, you're being a little obvious. Mm-hmm. And then the entire
and
book
Forkle
of Forkle
always trusted Orly.
Yes.
He never was skeptical.
In Lodestar, he was, like, answering her questions about Gethin and all the Never Seen. In Nightfall, he says, we could use a counselor on our side. And she said, I'm already on your side.
Are you even following these notes, or are you just
I'm just reciting the notes. They're in here.
Oh, okay.
They're in here, but I just remember
she
them.
Has so many notes, but she's just saying them out of her mind. Whoa.
Let's see. I remember. So, in book one, she hadn't spoken a word the entire time she met with Sophie, probably because... Well, first of all, the first thing, I always found this really funny.
You gotta slow down. This is...
it's too confusing. I'm sorry. All right, I'll start at the beginning of the series again, so that everyone can follow me. So, whenever Sophie comes to the Lost Cities, and she's doing the interview with the council, the three counselors.
It's kind of funny how we're telling them stuff they already know, and why it's true, even though they already know it's true.
Because, like, how did I not see this? I don't know, that's how I was.
Okay.
Kenrick, Orly, and Bront were there. I thought it was funny. This is not a proof for it, but I thought it was funny that the first thing Sophie said to Orly, kind of, was, you're tired of watching Kenrick stare at Orly. Like, that was kind of the first time that she had seen Sophie, and that was kind of the first thing Sophie said. So mm-hmm. I can just imagine her being like, oh, boy. And then, but after that, she doesn't say a word the entire meeting, probably because, you know, she's trying to process everything. Mm-hmm. And... the whole time, Kenrick's being, like, super energetic and, like, wow, Sophie's awesome, because he knows that she's Sophie's daughter, or she's Orly's daughter, so it's kind of adorable. Mm-hmm. And then, at the end, you know, Orly, of course, voted yes for Sophie to be in the Lost Cities. Mm-hmm. Book two. So, the main kind of two things from that, and the beginning of it, whenever... I said this in one of the episodes already, but, you know, that thing where they're meeting with Sophie, basically deciding if she can have Sylvanie, and Tarek's like, it's almost like the Black Swan manipulated the most powerful elf to get the most powerful creature, and Orly goes, no, they're not powerful enough for that, and Kenrick's like, no, she's right, they're not. Later in Exile, whenever she gets back from the Black Swan, Orly again doesn't say a word the entire time. She only really does that whenever she's either sad or she knows she'll be in trouble. Like, she's kind of scared. And so,
who doesn't just stay silent? Well,
you mean whenever they're, like, about to get in trouble?
Yeah. At least I do. I know some people who'd be, like,
talking. Keith tries to talk himself out of it.
But, no, I get, if I were Orly, I would be so quiet.
Yeah,
it's like, around.
I know nothing about this Mr. Forkle you speak of. This one, well, I can read this kind of during the Kenrick thing, but there's a spot that I'll read about later that also has something that's like, oh, wow, Orly does take Sophie's side a lot. Book three, I wonder, so Kenrick, whenever, so he started going to Sophie's inflicting sessions with Bront, because Bront inflicted on her that one time. He says in the deleted quote that he's going there.
And deleted quote from?
From Everblaze.
Okay.
He says that he's there, basically, he's going to write down everything he sees and report it to Grady. I wonder if he's also reporting it to Orly. And then,
he would have to do that secretly because Orly didn't know.
She didn't know that he knew, yeah. But even in just in his mind, like, I'm doing this for her because she would be too afraid to reveal herself. I know.
It's like, Kenrick's like, I know you have a daughter and I'm going to protect her like I'm her dad.
I have, like, this picture in my head of, like, if Kenrick was still alive and for some reason Grady and Adeline had died and the war was over, they would 100% adopt Sophie. And it would be so adorable. Continuing, book three. One reason, this is kind of random, but it does happen. One reason that Sophie thought Lady Cadence was her mom during Legacy was because she kind of smoothed things over at the Ogres. But I did notice that one of the few times that Orly talks, especially, it was the first thing that she said after Kenrick died, the first thing she said in public, was trying to smooth things over at the Ogres. This is when King Dimitar, like, right after Sophie had read his mind. She says, in Ogre-ish, I think that Ogre-ish, you also told us that if we needed your assistance, we just had to ask. This is our need. So that's the only thing that she says during Kenrick's entire funeral. And it's the only thing that we hear her say until she shows up and never seen to give Sophie Kenrick's catch. So, I think so. Oh, except for during the ability restrictor thing.
Yep.
One of the three times in the entire series Orly yells is whenever Sophie's getting the ability restrictor. And Alina's like, oh, we could just get Orly to test and see if Sophie's telling the truth when she says whether or not she can still read minds. And she yells, no, I will have no part in this. And then, book four, this is the thing that made me go, okay, you know what, I think there's something more going on with her.
She's gotta be so JC figured it out at book four.
Yes, and it was because of this quote. Whenever Orly's giving Sophie Kenrick's catch, whenever she's about to leave, the book says, Orly turned back to Sophie, and her mouth curved with a word. But by the time it slipped from her lips, it had changed to, I must go. I was like, no, there's no way. There's no way there's not more going on. And then Keith says, right after she leaves, he goes, now that's what I call mysterious. Foster, you should be taking notes. It's the similarities, guys. Then the next thing, book four, whenever, right after Sophie goes on this long rant about how bad Exilium is, and Counselor Tarek is at that point babysitting Orly because she was in trouble for giving Sophie Kenrick's catch. Which, by the way, I didn't put this in there, but whenever Sophie's like, let me go or I'll do something with this, Emery reeled on Orly. Is this your doing? And she's like, yep. she said, I honored Kenrick's last request, and I do not regret my actions, or something like that.
We know why it was Kenrick's last request.
Yes, because you guys act like this.
Wait, what?
Well, yeah, because Sophie
was Orly's daughter.
Right, but also because he was right that she needed protection. That's something else she says. He feared Sophie would need protection, and he was right. Like, she roasted them, like, four times. It was really funny. I was like, I see where Sophie gets it. And then in book four, right after Sophie rants about Exilium, thank you for opening my eyes. Kenrick would be so proud of you. That's the first time she says his name after he dies, by the way. Then book five, the counselor Orly has always been your loyal supporter. Book five, whenever Sophie visits her, visits Orly with Fitz, Sophie asks, what do you see as the answer to the problems in the Lost Cities?
Mm-hmm.
Orly says, I honestly don't know, but I think it starts with people like you. People asking hard questions and taking risks and never letting anything stop them. Not because they want power or glory, because they know it's the right thing to do. Then, later in that same scene, Sophie says, the Black Swan took the imparter that you had made that could hail you specifically. O'Reilly says, that sounds like them, and smiles.
Mm.
I realize I keep saying her name, like, two different ways. I'm sorry.
That's interesting. I never noticed that quote that she says, that sounds like them. Like, she knows them very
and
well.
And then, in, what was it, right after that, she says, oh, I suspect the two of you have quite a few long stories that would never make it to the ears of the council.
Who? She does?
She says that to Sophie and Fitz. O'Reilly does.
As in, like, from the Black Swan?
Something about it. It was right after... So, at that point, Sophie's imparter had been rigged by Keefe's mom, so they didn't know if she could hear them whenever they talked around it. And so, Sophie's like, oh... Or Fritz is like, oh, can you use my imparter? Sophie's is... Well, it's a long story. So, she says, I suspect the two of you have quite a few long stories that would never make it to the ears of the council. It's just funny. Just random.
Okay.
It's just her being like, I know you're on the Black Swan, and I'm really not going to write you guys out. Don't worry.
True.
And then, do I have the thing in with Forkel? Yes. This is right before they go to read Gethin's mind. She says, I've had enough encounters with Mr. Forkel to feel confident he can handle Gethin.
Hmm.
I remember reading that and being like, with Mr. I knew it, Orly. Right before they question Gethin, she grabs Sophie's hand and says, I want you to stay by my side.
I can see Orly and Forkel being such good friends.
Mm-hmm. And, sweet. Like, the whole time after that, I don't have it written down here, but the whole time after that is whenever she's like, can I ask you yes or no questions, and you'll promise you'll give me an honest answer? And Forkel's like, fine. And then she, like, gets a bunch of information out of it. Actually, at one point, he's just like, so here we go. And then he just tells her the whole thing without her having to guess anymore. But I can just imagine her right after she grabs Sophie's hand and she's like, I want you to stay right by my side so I can monitor your emotions. I've told Cindy this before. I can just imagine Forkel, like, over Sophie's head just giving her a look that's like, don't you dare give yourself away.
Because mm-hmm. She says, yeah. It's like, I want you to stay right by my side.
So that I can monitor your emotions and make sure you're okay or
so
something
I can
like
be
that.
Near my daughter. And JC was like,
I was like, And then book six is the I'm already on your side. Whenever he says we could really use a counselor on our side right now. And it's right after he reveals that he's still alive.
Who says we could really use a counselor?
Mr. Forkel does.
But he knows she's on their side.
Well, Forkel. But he can't just look at all the kids and be like...
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
And also, at the end of book five, Sophie and Keefe are there. He tells Orly specifically to take care of my mm-hmm. Moonlark. Because she's her mom. And then the next, book six, there was another thing.
You sound like it's not confirmed when it already is confirmed.
I know. I'm just, like, so surprised that I was actually right. This is, like, the first thing I've ever been right about. In book six, I don't have this in my notes, but I remember it, right before that, I remember her being, like, really sad about Forkel dying, and I was like, if she didn't know him, that's kind of random. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, he died in front of her, but so did Brant, and she was just like, oh, yeah, his brain was splattered everywhere, which kind of concerned me for her sanity, but, you know, but with Forkel, the first thing she asks is, can you ever forgive me? And then... There's, like, this whole conversation. I feel like I wrote it down, but then I was like, it doesn't have anything to do with her being her mom. But it's, like, Forkel said something like, it's far too easy to blame yourself after a tragedy, isn't it? And she's like, yeah. What else? And then, oh, I know. I skipped all the flashback because I didn't feel like rereading that because I'm biased against Sophits. But in book eight.
I was looking through flashback for some stuff last night, and I told JC, I was like, the Sophits is killing me. No. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I opened it to one page, and I was like, nope. So we looked in Legacy instead.
I saw a meme the other day that said flashback felt like a fever dream, and I was like...
It's because the whole first half of it actually literally was. It was just Sophie.
Oh, yeah.
Asleep.
Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. Shannon had a rough year, but still.
Yeah. And it's important for the stories that you can see, like, yeah, okay, so if it's fans, y'all are actually wrong. We're not just saying it. But, you know. Anyway, that's part of Sydney's theory.
Yep.
Which we will read.
We went about one day our theories in such different ways. Okay, go ahead.
My only other thing,
you know, the only reason I figured out who her mom was is because it had to do with Keith and Sophie, probably.
Because, which one?
My theory is basically based on the ships, because I understand the ships a lot better. Yes. And you understand O'Reilly a lot better, and that's how we both came to the same conclusion. We were just
like, yes.
Yeah.
The only other kind of, like, thing I wrote down was in book 8, whenever they're, like, giving her the Articles of Regency or whatever, and, I'm unlocking Sydney's notes.
Unlocking?
They ask Sophie, like, are you ready? And she's ready, Orly answered for her, offering a shy smile before adding, the empath would know. That entire book, I was like, could you be a little more obvious? Yeah. Like, whenever Sophie thinks it's bronze and she, like, stumbles backwards and doesn't say anything for the entire rest of the scene and then disappears.
And that's why we told y'all about how we started the tradition of whoever finishes the book first calls the other while they read it. Yeah. I was like, JC, call me now while you read this scene. You have to call me so I can, like, hear you react to her being her mother.
I was literally like, I've known this for such a long time. Mm-hmm. You're so obvious. I think I literally said out loud the first time I read that scene, could you be a little more obvious? And Bront is just like, yeah, she needs to look the part, right, Orly? And Orly didn't answer, and I was like, Bront knows.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different theory.
Yep.
Basically, all of Legacy is just like, Orly.
Though if you guessed it in Legacy, you're a little late.
Honestly. But the beginning part of it still, it's like...
Yeah. You have a chance to say I called it.
Yeah. So one other thing on Orly, and this is something that people have noticed, I saw, like, whenever you're looking through Instagram memes and stuff. She says twice that participating in Project Moonlark was the only way to have a daughter. She says that in Legacy... And in Unlocked.
She says it in Legacy, too?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Whenever she's talking to Sophie. Here, can I hold Legacy?
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to pause really quick. Okay, I found it. I was told that I could help them create something. Something, Sophie interrupted. A wake-up call, Orly clarified. A force for change and good, who would make our world pay attention in a way that no one else ever could. Make people see things for what they are, not what they thought they were. And you thought, sounds like a perfect job for my child. No, Orly said, turning toward one of the windows and staring out at the stars. I thought it sounded like the only way I'd ever be able to have a child. She left the words there, waiting to see what Sophie would do with them. But Sophie couldn't bring herself to care.
It is mentioned twice.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was mentioned once, but I didn't know it was twice.
And then Unlocked, sorry.
Yeah.
Almost the same thing happens. Yep. She says something about daughter, and then Sophie's like, but I don't care.
So that's definitely not a Shannon slip-up. And to be honest... The only Shannon slip-up that's, like, actually a slip-up was the Logner.
Yeah.
That's it.
Gina's last name.
Uh-huh.
What Delta said in Never Seen made me think, like, elves don't have problems with childbirth. Mm-hmm. But does this mean that maybe they do, or that Orly's an exception for some reason?
Yeah, because, well, we reasoned it out that, okay, if she was a counselor... Before, she would have known about Kenric, and so, how do we reason it out? We basically said that it can't be because she was a counselor, because counselors can step down, right?
Right. She could have stepped down before Project Moonlark, but why would she think that Project Moonlark was the only way for her to have a child? Mm-hmm. She does mention briefly in Legacy, like, having her match lists... and having time to review all of them before she joined the council.
Oh. So
I'm thinking that Kenric was probably already a counselor whenever she joined the council, or that they hadn't met in some way. And I'm thinking maybe she was already a part.
But joining the council isn't a lifetime deal. You can step down.
That's what Fallon said. He's like, serving on the council is a tremendous honor, but it shouldn't be your life.
Yeah.
And he says that he actually specifically gave that advice to Orly. So... Mm-hmm.
Or, no, he doesn't, but he looks at her. right?
Well, he says, I gave that same advice to another one. Sadly, I don't believe she listened either. Mm-hmm. And
so
Orly
he doesn't
blushed.
Say orally, but it's definitely orally because she reacts.
So he specifically, like, told her that at some point before the series started.
Mm-hmm.
Jinx. So we're thinking,
this could tie into my theory that I have later a little more, but she could have joined the council after she was a part of Project Moonlark. Like, they could have asked her to be a part of it, and then she got elected afterwards for some reason. And that's how she met Kenric, was after she already had agreed to be a part of Project Moonlark. So they're
Maybe, I mean, it's possible there's no reason for it, but I don't think that would explain this. The only thing that would explain it is if she has complications.
Mm-hmm. Well, if she was already on the council. Well, even that way, sure.
Even that way. Whether
or not she's on the council, that there could have been some sort of issue with her being able to have a child.
Yeah.
But
that has to be it.
The reason that she hadn't already resigned.
Wait, I'm so confused.
So if she
I think we're talking about two different things.
Yeah. So my question is, if she was already a part of the council, why hadn't she resigned beforehand? Or, like, why did the conversation with Kenric happen after she was a part of Project Moonlark? It makes me feel like she hadn't been on the council very long at that point.
True. That does make sense. Like, she wouldn't have known Kenric very long.
If she had agreed.
For some reason, I always thought that O'Reilly was there before Kenric, and I have no idea why. I don't know. Because I tried to write a fan fiction.
Well, if we did that, like, if she was there first and then Kenric joined later, so she was already on the council, she agreed to be a part of Project Moonlark, then he joined the council. That would make the timeline make sense, but then
She would be a very new counselor, like Alina.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we knew more about.
I want to know the timeline.
Yeah, because no elves have children when they're super old. I mean, Alden and Della were, like, 100.
Yeah, they usually have them at the beginning-ish of their lives. Like, Bront wouldn't have a kid. That would be, that'd be funny.
I mean, he could. We don't know that.
Well, because elves are ageless.
Yeah, but there could be only a certain age that you can, because I don't know.
I just, like, why, if she was already a counselor, sorry. If she was already a counselor and
if she was already a counselor, why would she join Project Moonlark? Is that what you're trying to say?
I guess so.
I mean, she's pretty stubborn. I could see her being like, Forkle, I want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, okay, so what I was trying to figure out is there any other reason besides complications that she would say
it's the only way to have
a child? Is there any other reason? Because being a counselor, at first you're like, oh, she's a counselor. She can't have a kid. But that doesn't make sense because she could always step down.
Yeah. I don't think there is another reason. But I've never heard of, like, it seems like that doesn't happen with elves.
But it could.
Right.
Maybe.
I'm guessing.
I mean, there are.
I think that's what she's implying.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to, like, the timeline of Kenric joining second, that makes sense. I don't know. My brain feels like there's a problem with it. I'll mention it in another podcast if I figure out a problem with it.
So I tried to write a fan fiction I think I told you about. I don't want to say the idea because I don't want anyone to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I might still do it. Oh,
my
God. There's a noise in the background. But in it, I think I had her on the council first for some reason. I think that's why it's in my head.
Mm-hmm. They don't say who's on there first, but oh, I know why I felt like he was on there longer, because he had a lot more forgotten secrets. But it seemed like she explained that. Well, it seemed like she explained that because she said she was an empath. But then she said, Kenric was always trying to protect me the whole time I was on the council.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just made it seem like he was there longer.
Yeah. He must have been on there before. I don't know.
We'll find out one day, hopefully. I want to find out.
Because I feel like if Kenric knew O'Reilly before she, I don't know. Kenric could have joined the council to be with O'Reilly.
But then,
why would they could have been childhood friends.
Wait, could they?
I don't know.
Why would she join the council if she knew him before that?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Why would they both join the council if they're
unless she was scared that no one would marry her because she can't have kids.
That's... Because Kendrick... Oh, no. You're probably right. Because Kendrick was... That's the... Oh, hold on. 1 second. I gotta pause again.
You should know that JC's freaking out over here.
My hands are, like, literally shaking.
She just realized something, and I have no idea what it is.
Because he said... Oh, no. Okay, hold on.
Okay, you can pause it again.
Okay, 1 second. Sorry. Okay, I'm gonna try to read this without freaking out, so... What was it? Aura, Kenrick breathed, sweeping back her hood. You don't have to keep fighting this. We wouldn't be the first to walk away because of... Orly shook her head. Kenrick, don't. His jaw set and his eyes blazed with the same intensity as his voice when he told her, because of love, Aura. We both know that's what this is, no matter how hard we pretend otherwise. The real Orly covered her mouth, tears streaking down her face. Her projection just stood there shaking. Kenrick reached for her other cheek. Think of how much simpler everything would be if we stopped trying to deny how we feel, he whispered. How happy we could be, how free. His gaze shifted to her mouth. We could have our own place, our own lives, maybe someday even our own family. Kenrick.
I knew that happened. Oh, I was right.
That's the thing. And then that's when she says, I can't, or something like that. I can't do this.
Wait, go back to it. Okay, is that what she says?
She says, I can't do this, yeah. I know that. Because that's what she says to Sophie right after Sophie finds out that she's her mom and she's Sophie. And then she says, I can't do this.
Wait. Oh, wait. So what does she say after that? She just says, Kenrick?
And she says, Kenrick. And then it's like, he almost kisses her. And then she's like, at the last moment, she turns away. I can't do this. And he says, can't or won't? And then she said, both. I know it by memory.
Wait a second. So is that why she joined the council? That's a whole character arc right there. So is our theory now that we're getting at that she joined the council because she can have kids and thought that, like...
Since she couldn't have kids.
Yeah, why? And then Kendrick says something about... And then Kendrick says something about children.
That's right.
And then she's like, nope. But she already has a child because it was the only way. That's so sad. Maybe that's why she regrets so much, because Kenrick would have loved her anyway. JC's in like a ball.
I can't talk or I'm going to start crying. Okay?
So wait, is that what we're saying? I mean, that feels really obvious. I feel like it's not even a theory, but it kind of is. Is that what we're saying? Is that what you're saying too?
Yeah, that's when I, that's what, that's, yeah.
So she was, like, that explains O'Reilly so much more.
Let me say one other thing that I remember from Sophie. Do you want me to pause it, or do you have something else to say while I find it?
Huh? Oh, it reminds me of Sophie being, you know what it reminds me of?
What?
Sophie and Keith, and Sophie's like, nobody will love me because I'm unmatchable. And Keith's right there like, I will. And she's like, no, I have to be unmatchable. I have to be matchable for someone to love me, basically.
That's right.
It's the same thing as O'Reilly.
That's why she's going to be able to, like, talk to Sophie after the, because, you know, Sophie's going to be all bleh.
And that's why she's like, don't let Keith make the same mistake. Kendrick. Don't make,
That's why she sees, like, herself and Kendrick in Sophie and Keith.
Yeah, because otherwise, if O'Reilly, I mean, it's still possible they didn't know each other before the council. But if they did, or even if they didn't, that could be why she joined the council, like,
oh my goodness.
Like,
okay.
Being stubborn like Sophie, and like, this is the best I can do.
I was just thinking of another thing, but like, I'm forgetting what it is already. 1 second.
Okay.
Okay, I found what I was looking for a second ago. It's whenever they're, like, about to look in Orly's catch. Orly stepped closer. I'm not telling you this because I'm going back on our deal, or because I'm trying to scare you. I just need to make sure you're truly prepared for the turbulent waters ahead. I can't bear having any more regrets when it comes to you. Sophie rolled her eyes. The words were probably meant to be touching, but she knew all Orly was trying to do was lay her own guilt if something bad happened. Yeah, right? Like, she doesn't have enough guilt. Okay, that's JC's commentary. Sorry. Orly sighed. I realize you're angry with me, Sophie, and I'm not trying to start another fight. But regardless of what you may think, I do care about you. And someday I hope you'll understand the difficult position I... And then Sophie interrupts. I won't.
Of course she interrupts. It's always...
Sophie.
No, it's always unfinished sentences.
Shannon leaves little hints, and then someone gets cut off while they're speaking.
And then right after that, as whenever Orly said, it can be justified when that's the only way to have a daughter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, why would that be?
A little bit later, it didn't matter. It wasn't the only way, Sophie reminded her. You just wanted to keep your precious position on the council. I did, Orly agreed, reaching up and tracing her fingers over the jewels in her circlet. But it isn't just about me. It might have started out that way when I was first elected. But you have no idea what kind of chaos would ensue if I were to leave. So whenever she was first elected, that might really be why she joined, because she didn't think that...
Wait, read that again?
Mm-hmm. Whenever she said... It wasn't the only way to have a daughter, Sophie said. Sophie reminded her. You just wanted to keep your precious position on the council. I did, Orly agreed, reaching up and tracing her fingers over the jewels in her circlet. But it isn't just about me. It might have started out that way when I was first elected.
So is Orly implying, is she or is she not agreeing that she could have had kids by stepping
down
from the
council? She didn't say either. She said it's the only way to have a daughter. And the last word sounded different than the others. And for a second, Sophie found herself meeting Orly's stare and wishing the black swan had made her an empath. Then she would have been able to tell if the sadness and longing she could see in Orly's eyes was actually real. But it didn't matter. And then Sophie said it wasn't the only way, you just wanted to stay on the council. And Orly said, yes, at first, but it isn't just about me.
I don't know.
Shannon, clear this up. Make it make sense. I'm
so confused. Okay, so here's the thing. At first I was like, oh, maybe it's the only way to have a daughter. It's not meant to be mysterious. But then you pointed out she says it in Legacy, too. Mm-hmm. And that makes it mysterious. It's in two books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Either way,
we've got to move on.
Yeah, we're 40 minutes in, and all we've talked about is stuff we already know.
Yeah.
It's time for theories. Who's Sophie's dad?
Wait, can I read my...
Yeah. Oh, right. Sorry. Before we go to the theories, well, it's still part of the theories, but it's still part of Sophie's mom. So, Sydney, whenever... What book was that? Flashback, I guess.
It was right after Flashback came out.
Like, the day that Flashback came out. Mm-hmm. She wrote this theory, and it was eerily accurate, so yeah. Here we go.
I probably should have read all of it, because a lot of it is about the ships, which came true. But
yes, it's a mixed theory about how the matchmaking was going to work out with Fitz, and, you know, kind of a hope for Keith Foster argument, and... Yeah. Orly.
But tell me if I should stop or if I should say more, because I'm probably just going to read the part about Orly.
Okay.
Okay.
You might want the mic closer to you.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is what I wrote in November 2018. Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay, this was before we knew Orly was Sophie's mom, so before Legacy. I wrote, what if Sophie's mom is Orly? Consider the implications. If Sophie's mom is Orly, or... How are we saying it now?
Orly.
Okay. If Sophie's mom is Orly, we have a problem. Orly is on the council and can't have kids. You may say it can't be Orly, but you never know.
You really don't.
We don't know. Anyway, if her mom is Orly, that wouldn't make the whole, just tell her who her biological parents are, so simple. Because if she puts in Orly's name as her mom, she's either not going to be believed or Orly is going to be kicked off the council.
Which she almost has been before, so yeah. She's kind of standing on thin ice here.
And you may say that Orly would be willing to be kicked off the council for Sophie, but things are getting worse. Mm-hmm. It's crucial for the Black Swan to have someone on the council right now on their side. That could cause some pretty big problems. Let's look at one. And then after that, I basically talk about the ships. And I guess we can put that in another episode. Because it's really long.
At some point, we're going to do a ships episode where we talk about all of our favorites.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of that theory, though, because then I go on and talk about Fitz and Sophie breaking up.
It's exactly right.
Well, except she gives Fitz a little more credit than he deserves. She's like, he'd probably be really sweet and understanding and like, oh, Sophie, I know.
He's more like, Here's the thing. That was when the wiki was
very Sophie.
Literally, because it was right after into flashback. A ship war, like a full-on war. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to be really careful what I say about Fitz and give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
And then he still did what I said, but a little bit worse than I said, to be honest.
Next thing, Sophie's dad.
Sophie's dad.
So, this is, I'm going to start it off. Headphone users. Because. From what she tells Orly in Legacy, that her enhancing is stronger on empaths and telepaths, and I will be revisiting that, don't you worry.
So, just so you know, this is where I'm going to play Devil's Advocate, and also talk slow.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You're good.
From what she said, we can say that her dad is probably a telepath because her mom was an empath, so that means a telepath. Sydney, go ahead. Do you have anything to say other than a squeal?
We'll talk about it. Yes, we will. So here's the thing. I half agree with JC, and I half am not completely sure. But it is much more likely that he's a telepath. Mm-hmm. I don't think that rules out everyone, but it is. I agree. I agree with you, though, that it's much more likely.
Don't worry. I have a refutation that I'm, like, so excited about. I'll explain. Okay. All right. So the currently known telepaths, according to the list in Unlocked, which is amazing. Thank you so much, Shannon, for that thing. We have Fitz, Alden, Sophie.
Even though we had a list way before.
In the Wikipedia, so thank you, whoever created that.
No, but we also, I remember in like 2016 listing out the telepaths. We did write it out. And we were like, who is her dad?
Okay. Yeah. And we like settled on Quinlan because we did not read his character description. Continuing.
He didn't have one back then.
Well, it was described in book one. Sorry. Oh. We're gonna get to that.
Okay.
Fitz, Alden, Sophie. Then the Washer from Nightfall, Damel. Kenric, of course. Gethin, Forkel, Tiergan, Prentice, Quinlan, and Emery.
Mm-hmm.
So, out of the telepaths, we can roll. Oh, and I'll add, it's possible that her dad is a telepath we haven't met, but in my mind, it's unlikely. Mr. Forkel told her in Never Seen that her parents knew who she was and wished they could be a part of her life. And after making such a big deal about this, Shannon just introduces some random character and makes him Sophie's dad, or, as we'll talk about later, never says who Sophie's dad is, it'd be anticlimactic. In my mind. And disappointing. But out of those telepaths, out of all of them in the list, we can rule out Fitz because he's too young. And Sophie because we can rule out Alden because he tried to get Sophie to date Fitz.
Unless Fitz is somehow not Alden's son, which would be...
He has TLIs. Impossible because they look exactly alike. Prentice. We can rule out Prentice because, as Wiley pointed out in Flashback, you saw how much they look alike. And Alvin genes work the same as human genes. That's the same way we can, same reason we can rule out Quinlan. You know, he also has dark skin that is mentioned in book one, but I didn't realize it till later.
And he's mad at Livy and...
Yes.
Yeah, their marriage probably would have been fine.
Yeah. Damel, because he's too young. He was still in the elite levels of Foxfire, and you can't have kids when you're three. you can rule out Mr. Forkel. This is why. Now, I think Sydney has a sort of refutation to this. Never Seen, page 368. Can I have Never Seen?
Yep.
It's bookmarked, I think. Page 368 is. Yep. But, yes, it is. All right, on page 368, he says, blah, 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 talking about her genetic parents. Why the secrecy, Della asked. Can't she know her family? Granite and Mr. Forkel shared a look. Someday you may understand, Mr. Forkel told Sophie. But for now, I can at least assure you. I'm sorry, I'm stuttering.
That's interesting. He shares a look with Tiergan.
Right. But for now, I can at least assure you, as I did with your concerns about Julie, that I am not your genetic father. Keith grabbed Mr. Forkel's wrist. He's telling the truth.
Wait a second. Is I in italics?
Yes. I am not your genetic father. Keith grabbed Mr. Forkel's wrist. He's telling the truth, and he actually feels kind of bad about it. Of course I do. Project Moonlark may have been unconventional, but I'm your family, and you are mine. Sydney pulled two different dads out of that one, so...
Two different what?
Two different dads, because whenever I mentioned Tiergan, you were like, Tiergan! And then whenever I mentioned Forkel, you were like, Forkel!
Okay, so wait a second. Find it again.
It's the same bookmark, the one in the middle that says Kenrick Father Theory.
Okay.
Because Kenrick is also brought up on the next page.
Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we're going to get to Four Golden Deer again.
We will. Okay.
I'll hold my thoughts.
So that leaves us with Tiergan, Kenrick, and Gathen. And now Sydney will, I guess I can start off Tiergan and then I'll pass it to her. So Tiergan has olive toned skin, as it's mentioned, but genetics are weird and his skin's a little bit lighter, so it's still a possibility. Mm-hmm. He was very shocked when he met Sophie in book one. I don't have book one with me right now because I have a friend reading it, but he says something like, "She's the one, isn't she? The one Prentice sacrificed everything for." What was it? Oh, yeah. My kind of reason against that, like my main thing, whenever Kenrick asked Orly, "Are there a bunch of other secrets that you're keeping from me too?" She said, "No, the deal is that I had to be entirely separate from the Black Swan." Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tiergan is a member of the collective.
Yep. So personally, I'm going to play devil's advocate because I don't think it's Tiergan. Mm-hmm. I don't think so, but I'm not going to rule it out.
Right.
I'm still going to try to find evidence for it. Because of what JC just said, that they do say that the deal is, it doesn't say for both of their
parents. No,
their
it parents. Says that
yeah, she it just had says O'Reilly had to be, which could be interesting because she mm-hmm. was on the council and they might have wanted her to stay completely separate. Mm-hmm. That's true. So that's why I don't think it is, but it's still mm-hmm. possible.
Tiergan's a possibility. He acts very suspicious. However, that could be because he was in on the secrets of who her parents were. Mm-hmm. And because he's so deep in the Black Swan, like, whenever he's Tiergan, he reacts to a lot of things Sophie says kind of suspiciously. Like, Sydney wrote down here, Keeper_Shade_Fan said that Tiergan sucks in a breath when Sophie asks if Prentice is her father. That was kind of similar to how Orly acted when Sophie thought Lady Cadence was her mom. But it could also be just because he's really deep in with the Black Swan and knows these things.
Mm-hmm. And credit to @KeeperShadeFan.
Yes, for mentioning that, because I would not have remembered.
Yep.
Especially not having book one right now.
He does sound kind of suspicious. Of course.
How would you think
of that? Of course not. Why would you think that? Oh, no. It sounds kind of like Corrali, yeah.
Yeah. It's very similar to how they act, but he could have just known. Like, I feel like Forkel says somewhere that Tiergan knows who her parents are, or that maybe the collective mm-hmm. does.
I mean, it does make sense that they want a telepath. Oh, mm-hmm. look, there's Tiergan right over there.
I mean, but there's also ones who aren't so involved with the Black Swan and easily caught. Like, if Tiergan True. Was caught as her father, it would be like, oh boy, we're compromised. The whole Black Swan, we're about to go down. But, like, with Orly, literally all she knows is Project Moonlark.
True, but protecting Tiergan as her father is a lot less important than protecting O'Reilly.
Yeah, because he did leave the nobility and all that.
Yeah.
He was kind of away from the council's mm-hmm. eye.
Yeah. He is a good powerful, liar, though. We know.
Yeah. Well, literally after his first telepathy session with Sophie, he's like, "And this is all I can teach you. Now you're more powerful than me, so have fun on your own."
True. It would be really weird, but I mean, like, what is it right here? Granite and Mr. Forkel share a look when they ask about her family, which I'm going to say is just because Granite would know and he was another mm-hmm. Black Swan, a collective member in the room. Mm-hmm. But,
like, if Squall had been in there, yeah. Squall would have been like, uh-huh. Forkel.
if you want to make the argument that it's Tiergan,
that's kind of
here's some free evidence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's about all we have on Tiergan. We didn't research him as much because
I want to talk about him for a minute. I want to spend time on each one.
Okay.
I don't want to go past them. Or should we just come back to it?
We should come back to it. If we think about Tiergan again, we'll come back to it.
Okay. I want to come back to it because I don't want to rush past this. I want to figure it out.
JC's turn.
It's killing me that I can't figure it out.
JC's turn. The next thing, the next telepath that we couldn't rule out is Kenrick.
Wait. Have we rolled out Forkel?
Yes, because Keith read his emotions. So,
okay.
You talk about him later.
It's okay, on okay, okay.
You
okay.
have him.
I'll hold my thoughts.
Written. Kenrick, right. So, I think that even if Sydney's just, like, laughing at me right now, I think that even if he wasn't necessarily Sophie's dad, because there is good proof against that, there's some proof for it, the best thing I can say is he's definitely on the Black Swan. Like, because of something Farkle said. Yeah. At least he was on the Black Swan.
At least connected.
Right.
Somewhere.
At least an informant.
Yeah,
an informant. So, here is my theory. So, Kenrick did act surprised when Orly said she was Sophie's mom. You know, he said something like, I understand, or at least I'm trying to. But he could have been acting, because apparently, you know, as a keeper who would have known a lot of secrets, he'd be good at keeping secrets. Mm-hmm. And plus, as Sophie says in Never Seen, he was a telepath, and he'd always been incredibly kind to her. Plus, it would explain why he'd given her his catch. Mm-hmm. Could have been, again, because he knew Orly was her mom. But Sophie, you know, was Sophie's first theory. And Forkle did say whenever she was trying to come up with her parents, her first theory, she just jumped to Kenrick and Orly being her parents. And so Forkle said, there was no unrequited love. They didn't even know each other. I did it that way on purpose because I couldn't let them find out who the other was. But notice the past tense. Who's to say that he didn't recruit one of them before the other joined the council?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even know each other.
Which would explain why O'Reilly joined the council.
Right. And he didn't say they don't, like, he didn't say they don't know each other right now. He just said they didn't whenever I recruited them.
Did he say that in response to Kenrick and O'Reilly?
Yes. So Sophie thought that theory, he was inside of her mind, like, reading her mind at that point, and she was like, oh, Kenrick and O'Reilly could be my parents. It's, like, on this page.
Is it? Hold on. I want to find that because I want to know for sure it was in reference to Kenrick and O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Oh, it's right here. Okay, hold on.
It's like...
Wait, no, it's not.
The first theory she jumped to is the most heartbreaking of them all. Because this is probably a month after Kenrick died.
Oh, yep.
Having this conversation.
How would me knowing who they are topple anything unless...
It was whenever he said this could topple... It would trigger a chain reaction that could topple our world.
Yeah, I see it. Okay, it is...
And then he
in
said...
In response to Kenrick and Orly.
Mm-hmm. And he says that, and then the funniest part is, whenever he's like, no, they didn't know each other. She's like, oh, then Kenrick. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Sophie, who's the one who's literally helping you right now? But
mm-hmm.
She was so close, which is probably, it could have been why Forkle panicked so much and, like, shut down every Kenrick thought so fast, because he knew the next person for her to jump to was Orly. But.
Yeah.
But there's so much more. Even if Kenrick isn't Sophie's
dad.
If
he wanted to disprove... So, okay, here's what I'm thinking. Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm. She's processing. This means that she's about to have a theory that's probably right.
No. No, hold on. I'm losing it. What was I going to say? Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. What was I going to say? Oh. If he was talking about Kenrick... And Orly.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to disprove that.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he... There could be two points to this.
Okay.
Either he's trying to say there still is no unrequited love. He's trying to say, like, mm-hmm. there's still none. That's why it's not both of them, blah, blah. Or he's intentionally using the past tense.
Right. So either he's saying it's not Kenrick, or he's saying, well, they didn't know each other.
Yeah, well, because we know it's O'Reilly, and so he's trying to cancel both of them out. It's possible that he doesn't even know Kenrick knew. It is Kenrick, because he says here, I can tell you're still pondering possibilities, so I'll add that your genetic parents had no connection to each other. Blah, blah, blah. I did that purposely because I couldn't allow them to know who each other were. So mm-hmm. say one joins... Say So if O'Reilly, okay, there are so many things that would have to work together. Keep going. Okay. I'm thinking.
So
I'm leaving
this
open though.
Even if Kenrick isn't Sophie's dad, there seems to be a lot more going on with him. Here's why.
Mm-hmm.
So he found out Orly was involved with the Black Swan before Book One even started. It's definitely possible that at some point he was like, okay, I could do this. I could be on the Black Swan. I could tell them stuff that's happening since she can have no connection to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are kind of like evidences of times that he seemed very interested in the Black Swan. In Book Two, right after Sophie gets her abilities healed, the first question that he asks her, and he like hushes all the other counselors. He's like, guys, stop arguing. Sophie, do you still have the compass that led you to the Black Swan?
Wait, why did...
Okay.
And then also, right after that, whenever they're threatening to exile Grady for some reason, because Sylvanie got hurt, this is, I skipped this earlier because I realized it was more of a Kenric thing than an Orly thing, but he turns to the counselors and he says, it literally said, Kenric stepped forward when no one else would. I will not concede to a tribunal, Brant. No matter how you try to twist it, there's nothing about what happened that would merit us locking Grady away in exile like a murderer. He turned to the other counselors. That's not justice. That makes us just as cruel and reckless as the rebels were trying to prevent. And if that's the kind of action that we would consider to try and prove our worthiness, then we deserve every bit of criticism we're getting. A stunned silence followed until Orly moved beside him. I agree. So... Hmm. That's also kind of something that I thought of after he died and the council went crazy and forced the ability restrictor on circlet on Sophie and all that. I was like, it's probably because he's not there to say that kind of thing to them, to, like, show them the truth. Like, guys, if you don't stop now, we're literally the bad guys. And they really do turn into, like, and at least in the eyes of Sophie and her friends, the bad guys. Like, Keefe is like, aren't all the cool villains threatening with ogres now?
Yeah, and then there's, like, a fight in exile, basically. Right.
They literally, you know, end up getting Fitz getting stabbed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's another kind of time that he really stood up for Sophie. Which, yeah.
So can I ask, right here you skipped it, but you say don't forget Legacy 533.
Yeah, that's for later. Because okay. I had to write that note somewhere that I knew I would see it, and I knew I would see it during the Kenric rant. But that's something that I have saved for Elwyn.
Oh.
So, anyway, at the end of Never Seen, wait, no, I skipped a part. At the beginning of Never Seen, Orly says that they both thought his life was in danger. Alden asks, does that mean that he suspected his life was in danger? We both did, though I should have done more to help. Tears slipped down Orly's cheeks. I should have done so many things. Near the end of Never Seen, when Vincent's revealed to be alive, Mr. Forkel changes the subject from Kenric very fast. Suspiciously fast.
Yep, thus.
How could he be alive? Sophie talking. How could he be alive? Alden saw the flames overwhelm him.
So this is right after... Fenton. Yeah, Fenton.
Yeah, literally Fenton appeared and he's like, surprise, and Tarek had to hold Orly back.
Mm-hmm.
Then Forkel says, clearly there was some trick. And then Sophie says, does that mean... No. He cut her off before she could fully form the question. Kenric is gone. So was Fenton. Yes, but do you think Kenric would let us mourn his loss? Let that thought go now. It will only distract you from our actual problem. Well, Forkel, Kenric wouldn't let you guys mourn his loss if he could help it, but how did Fenton escape? How did he get away? According to Alden, Kenric charged Fenton when the room started raining Everblaze. So if he was touching Fenton, Fenton probably took Kenric with him to whatever hideout he went to. Depends on exactly how Fenton escaped, but especially if he, like, leapt away, like, you know, everybody else did.
Is that confirmed in our...
We don't know. I don't think it's ever mentioned.
Okay.
Like, how he escaped.
All I know is in our,
In our fan fiction
that we say leaped away.
Yeah. And I'm fine with that because it helps my theory. So... If Fenton had captured Kenric, what would they do? Well, for one, they would torture and question him. He was the keeper of the council. I'm assuming that, though it wasn't widely distributed information. That's true. They could put him to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But then that would kind of make his mind go blank. And
well, they could torture him and then put him to sleep, and that could be how he's incapacitated.
True. Probably. And, you know, he knew all the council secrets because he was a telepath and all that. And so that's probably why they wanted his catch so much and why that's how Keefe could prove his loyalty, because they knew Kenric could open it.
Mm-hmm.
And they could use him for extreme leverage. So think about it. One day, if all the Never Seen members, save a few, are captured, all that has to happen is Lady Gisella comes out and says, hey, so we've actually had Kenric this whole time, and we'll give him back if you release all our people. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'll kill him right now.
Yeah.
And... that would kind of, it would be a hard decision because it would, in effect, start the war with the Never Seen over, right, when they were about to win. You know,
they
finally had all these people captured. It's all about to be over. And then they're like, if you don't reset it, we're going to kill Kenric.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, oh, we want to save Kenric. But then think about how mad everyone would be that we released all these villains. And then Sophie would have that same, because that sounds like something Vespera would do too. Sophie would have that same thing that Vespera did to her in Nightfall. Like, are you willing to sacrifice one person that means a lot to you for all these people that you could save? Talking about, like, yep. Our parents versus all our friends. And then, yeah, but just because of all of that, there's no way that he's not more important than we realize. And I have, like, a long list of all these times that he's mentioned. Where did I put that? I don't think I ever pasted it. Okay. But there is, like, 40... There are, like, 45 times that quotes what? Are...
You caught what? 45?
I didn't count to 45. Oh, okay, but okay. There's a bunch of times that it's mentioned that he's alive. Give me one second to find that list. Okay, I found it. So for some reason I like command X'd it, but I didn't command V it anywhere, but I found it in version history. Thank you, Google Docs. Okay. So Shannon keeps bringing his death up. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. And there has to be a reason behind that, because that's something you said, like, the little random things yeah. she mentions, those if are she, always mm-hmm. important.
Yep, totally.
So, here is in Lodestar. Was Kendrick my father? He was a telepath, and he was always so kind to me. Her throat closed off as she remembered his bright smiles. The red-haired counselor had been one of Sophie's favorites, right up until the day when she lost him to Fenton's Inferno of Everblaze. Then this is kind of a suspicious thing. Magnet let her reach for Sophie's hand. Kendrick was not involved with Project Moonlark, and that's all I can tell you. Some secrets must remain hidden. Besides, we have much more pressing matters to discuss. And so, yes, that's kind of an interesting thing. Like, he wasn't involved in Project Moonlark, but that's all I can tell you. So that doesn't mean he wasn't involved with the Black Swan. He chose those words very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next thing. Oh, that tricky subject change again. Also, notice that no one was reading his emotions, so technically he could have been lying about Kendrick not being involved in Project Moonlark. Plus, if you think about it, Orly technically wasn't involved in Project Moonlark. She just donated to it. She didn't, like, plan it.
True.
So,
I don't know.
Forkle's sneaky like that. He would...
Yeah.
Forkle would
but
do that. But
Project Moonlark seems like a very specific thing to say. Oh, he wasn't involved in it.
Mm-hmm. Either way, he chose those words super carefully.
Yeah, he didn't say he's not your father.
Right. If you have to, if you're trying to argue for the Kendrick theory, that's what you could say is, like, well, he didn't say, no, he's not your dad. He just said he wasn't involved in the project. And then if you're trying to say that he was on the Black Swan, yeah, I think you're right. And I don't have anything against that at the moment. The next thing. Legacy, page 261. Where
legacy?
Is it?
Legacy.
Hold on.
You had it a few minutes ago.
All right. Legacy, page 261. He said, I'm trying to start, like, right whenever she started talking about it. Wiley asked, this is whenever she's, like, with Team Valiant, and they're asking her who some of her theories for her parents were. So Wiley's like, so who were your wrong theories? And Sophie said...
Yeah, she makes room for it, doesn't she?
She says, well, Sophie shifted her weight as she tried to figure out how honest she should be. I'm not sure if it's weird to tell you this, but my first theory is actually your dad, but because mm-hmm. everyone kept mentioning his name. And Wiley's like, oh, you saw how much we look alike? Sophie laughed and nodded. So after I ruled him out, I thought it might be Mr. Forkle, since he's a telepath, and he was the one who rescued me from the kidnappers and healed my abilities and stayed in the human world to keep an eye on me. But he says it's not him. He could be lying, Sina noted. Oh, I know, but the longer I'm around him, the more it doesn't feel like he's the one, especially when you consider the whole secret twin thing. The Forkle brothers were the only people who could do most of the stuff they did for me, so it makes those good deeds seem way less significant, more like they were just doing their job, you know? Sophie shrugged. I also wondered if it was Counselor Kendrick, since he was always so nice to me, and he was a telepath and gave me his catch. But Forkle said he's not, and with Kendrick being dead, I don't really see why he'd bother lying. And not that she'd fully realized what it would mean if one of the counselors had been a part of Project Moonlark, she really hoped Kendrick was not her biological father. The thought of him letting Prentice get hurt to keep his secret safe made her insides churn. Plus, it would devastate Orly. I have a lot to talk about, by the way. I'm going to keep reading, though, because there's one more point. Then again, she supposed all of that could be a reason for Mr. Forkle to lie to her about Kendrick. Maybe she shouldn't rule him out as her biological father after
that's
all.
That's suspicious right there.
And just ends with ellipses. Uh-huh. That's the end of page 261. Okay, let me say...
And Shannon's very realistic when they theorize. Like, mm-hmm. she lets them have wrong and right theories,
mm-hmm.
which is...
Maybe she shouldn't rule them out after all. Maybe we shouldn't. Okay, so I would say Forkle would bother lying about Kendrick being her dad even though he's dead because, well, first of all, that would lead her to Orly, like, mm-hmm. right away. Second of all, the Lost Cities trusted him, like, trusted Kenrick. So if word got out, oh, by the way, he was a part of an organization that everyone thought was a rebel organization mm-hmm. at the time and kept it a secret, everyone would be like, well, we had faith in this guy.
Yeah, and now it's more and more suspicious that he would have been on the Black Swan, too. Mm-hmm. And so either way, he would lie about it.
Right. And whenever she said, plus, it would devastate Orly. That's what you think, Sophie. That's, of mm-hmm. course, before she found out Orly was her mom. Afterwards, she'd be like, oh, actually, I'd probably make her really happy. Mm-hmm. And then,
or sad.
Sad? Well, that he didn't tell her. That's true. Especially because he knew that she was... That was something she said, like, whenever she saw the memory where he found out that she was Sophie's mom,
yeah.
she's like, why didn't you tell me when I would remember?
Uh-huh. Ooh, why didn't he?
To keep her safe. So that she didn't feel like she had to choose constantly between Sophie and Kenrick.
Well, yeah, but, if he's her dad, I'm not saying I believe you, I'm just saying, if he's her dad, is that why he wouldn't tell Orly that? Because they were supposed to be separate?
Yeah. That's another reason for it. But even if he's not, the reason why he kept it from her is because if he wasn't her dad and she knew that Kenrick knew...
I'm trying to help you here.
I know. I'm just giving another reason, like, so that people aren't like, oh, well, Kenrick's just being secretive and suspicious. Quit it with that. Kenrick is on the Never Seen theory. It's not true. I refuse. No,
so, that's not true.
The reason that he kept it from her was because he didn't want her to have to constantly feel like, I'm staying on the council to protect Sophie, so what does that mean about, like, what is Kenrick thinking? Does he think that I don't love him just because I'd rather keep Sophie safe? So her not having to have that continual moral dilemma, he would do that. Because he was constantly trying to keep her safe, keep her mind from being shattered. Especially because he suspected that his life is in danger. I feel like that would
help, though, because then he could say, hey, Orly, it's okay, I understand why you're stuck on the council.
But...
I mean, I see it either way, but it also...
That's just my thought. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know enough about their background.
Okay, say I'm going for you here. Mm-hmm. If he's her dad, mm-hmm. he would not tell Orly. No. Because then...
She would know it.
Yeah. First of all, if he's on the Black Swan or knows more about the Black Swan, first of all, he wants to protect her. And second, they're not supposed to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just...
He doesn't want to get really in trouble weird. With Mr. Forkle.
And I feel like that would be more of a tug and pull because then they could be a family. If she knew, she'd be like, yeah, okay.
And then, what's the next thing? It really sounds like he's involved in some way with the Black Swan, whether it's Project Moonlark or just an informant. He's too important. He keeps coming up. Here's the death mentions that I wrote down starting in Nightfall. I didn't have time to go back to the first, Never Seen in Lodestar, but mm-hmm. we have kind of mentioned those, what with Orly bringing Sophie's catch and the one I just read.
Yeah.
So every name cut deeper into Sophie's heart. This is Nightfall, page 61. Jolie, Counselor Kenrick, Calla, Mr. Forkle. Then this is on page 200. I quoted it earlier. One thing I've had to learn, Mr. Forkle interrupted, and I suspect you, talking to Orly, know far better than most, is that it's far too easy to analyze a tragedy after the fact and feel like you should have been able to prevent it. Yes, Orly whispered, it is. Sophie had a feeling Orly was also thinking about the day Counselor Kenrick was taken from them. She'd long suspected Kenrick and Orly had been in love, but never acted on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then flashback. So, do you really want to do another memory break on him? After what happened to Alden and Kenrick. That's page 10 with Keefe. Then page 6, I know that's out of order, I'm sorry. Page 6, she would never stop wishing there was a simple, sturdy throne for Counselor Kenrick. Kenrick had been kind and funny and one of Sophie's most loyal supporters, and he'd still be alive if it weren't for her.
Mm-hmm.
Page 40, Sophie had long suspected that Orly had resisted her feelings for Kenrick in order to remain on the council, and now Kenrick was gone. Literally, like, every time Orly's brought up, Kenrick is. Legacy.
Well, that makes sense, though.
But... Like, it's so, like, okay, we know he Shannon. Is, we I know agree. He's dead. You don't have to keep turning the dagger.
Yeah.
They
don't do that to Calla.
Right. Like, every time the niece is brought up, whatever her name
is. Yeah, and she's not like, this is for Calla.
Every time.
It's always Kenrick.
Racism? Legacy. Legacy 175. I'm sure you'll agree that what happened to Counselor Kenrick proves we're anything but safe, Bront cut in. Legacy 176. The next page. Clearly all the months since Kenrick's death hadn't lessened Orly's grief over losing the person everyone had suspected she'd secretly been in love with, and who'd obviously been in love with her, too. Legacy 189. She'd only wished Kenrick was still there with him, but she'd let his loss fuel her determination. She owed him a victory. Hopefully this is how she'd get it for him. That was right whenever she was appointed as a regent. And then something very similar to that is said in Unlocked. I cut myself off there for the sake of time, but you get what I'm saying. He's too important.
Something... And then in Unlocked, she mentions him twice.
Yes.
She's like, this is for Kenrick.
So whenever she's burning down the storehouse. By the way, I'm really interested. I don't know if I've said this before. I probably have, but I'm really interested to see Orly's reaction to, oh, you used fire. Great. Awesome. You're burning stuff now, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Continuing. Yeah, there's no way that Kenrick is not more important than we realize.
So here's...
And, sorry, the last thing about Kenrick, the memories in his catch. Those are going to be super important. Something's coming out of this.
So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely something more about Kenrick.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like if he's on the... Okay. So this is the mistake I made with O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a whole theory about it, but I still was worried. I was like... It's so obvious. Remember, I was... Mm-hmm. JC would always say, it's O'Reilly. And I was like, no, that's too obvious. It's not O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. It is, but it's not. Like, it seems like it. I always said it was going to be... O'Reilly was the one that they wanted us to think, and it was going to be someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Then it turned out Bront was the one they wanted us... Bronte, whatever, wanted us to think. And it was O'Reilly. And I was like, so it's not that obvious to everyone else. So I thought O'Reilly was way too obvious, and that she wouldn't do it because of that. And
I think it was obvious because I talked about her so much, and you were like, yes, JC, we know.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel the same way about this. I'm like...
You're going to say that with every single theory.
Yeah. Because you make... Okay. It makes sense, but it feels too big to me. It's a great theory. I'm just...
Mm-hmm.
And I was wrong with O'Reilly. I was right with O'Reilly because I predicted it, but I still doubted myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel the same way about this. I'm like, it could be right, but is it too big? Is it too much? Because we already know he's more important.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to jump through too many holes, is the thing, for it to be true? But then again, for O'Reilly, I was like, oh, no, yes, but no. And I feel the same way here, because what my mind wants me to say is either he's on the Black Swan, either he's, like, really connected, or he's her dad. Mm-hmm. I want to say it has to be one or the other. He's not important enough to be two. But that's kind of what I said to O'Reilly. I was like, no. See, so I'm really torn because it feels so obvious. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels too obvious and also too not... It feels too perfect.
Okay, that's one other thing that I just popped into my head. There's kind of this instant trust thing that happened with Orly as soon as she met her. She's always like... in Legacy, she's like, Orly was a nice counselor, a trustworthy counselor.
Yeah, but you're forgetting Kenrick knew that O'Reilly was her mom, that makes a reason for a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be explained by he knew Sophie was O'Reilly's daughter.
Mm-hmm. But why would she, like, just instantly trust him? Like, she really trusted him. Because
he's like Keith. Keith instantly trusts Sophie.
And but
because he likes
he's a
her.
Counselor. She didn't like instantly trust Tarek. She kind of asked for his help.
Tarek's not in love with O'Reilly.
No, I mean counselor wise.
Okay.
Wait, what do you mean?
Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, that's not my mom, is it? Oh, nope, it's not. Okay. What I'm trying to say is, can you explain all of this? Just playing devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. Can you not explain all of this by saying Kenrick loved O'Reilly, he knew Sophie was O'Reilly's daughter, he trusted O'Reilly, and so then he went with her with everything?
Not the part where Forkel's like, he wasn't a part of Project Moonlark, and that's all, some secrets have to stay hidden.
But he says that in response to her asking if he's her dad.
Right. And he says some secrets must remain hidden.
But that could just mean he's not a part of Project Moonlark. He's a part of something else.
So that would still mean he's a part of the Black Swan, though. Yeah. So it wouldn't explain at all.
Uh-huh.
As far as the dad thing goes, the main, like, thought I have, well, first of all, that would mean that can really happen, which would be awesome. But it's just that, I don't know, he really changes the subject from Kenrick really fast. And almost every one of her other theories that she's talked to Mr. Forkle about, like the Prentice one, all of those, either, you know, something obvious like skin color or an empath was reading his emotions. Like, yeah. Bront, there was an empath.
And she, and see, only one is Kenrick. You're right, she does bring it up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm like,
that always means something with Shannon. Yeah.
She does say, and maybe I shouldn't rule out that theory.
Right. And the only person who she's asked about that didn't have an empath confirming it was Kenrick.
Wait. Why does she say she shouldn't rule it out?
Because Forkle could have been lying, essentially. Like, it would have been reason enough for him to lie that,
Yeah. I found this quote. Is it on Unlocked or Legacy? When I was looking the other day, that was like, oh, pause it.
Okay.
I think Keith said it.
All right, we're back.
Okay, so this is in the Mr. Forkle part of Unlocked, so Unlocked spoilers. So the section about Mr. Forkle, she, a few seconds before, she talks about him not being her biological father. So biological father is mentioned in this context. She says, so it says this, he claims he's not my biological father, despite being listed that way on certain documents. Even if that's true, he still helped create me, and he knows who my biological father is, and he refuses to tell me. And then it goes down three different points, which I feel like Shannon inserted in there. And then it says, he lies sometimes, maybe all the time, who knows. So that's proof. Shannon is making it, very canon that, like, he could be lying.
He could be lying about Kenrick. Or anything else, yes.
Yeah. So we, unless his emotions are being read, she puts it in there that he could be lying about anything. Like, I feel like that's important.
Definitely. Because it's like those little things that she inserts that are the most important ones.
Yep.
There's more possibility than I thought. And even if not, like, the theory that Kenrick could be alive and just captured by the Never Seen makes so much sense, especially, like, them being able to use him for the extreme leverage.
Mm-hmm. And they have supporting, so they can keep someone completely incapacitated.
And he wouldn't have been able to keep anyone from mourning him. It makes so much sense.
And they would have wanted that unrest in the Lost Cities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's so happy. It's so happy that I don't want to believe it.
Right. No.
Kind of like Aurelie being her mom.
My thing is, like, Kenrick. Okay, just the Kenrick being alive. Just that one part. Like, even if it doesn't happen in the series, it still happens in my brain. Because it's so easy to just be like, and then they just find another never-seen hideout, raid it, find an unconscious Kenrick, and there we go. Kenrick's alive. And Aurelie doesn't have to be sad forever. And neither does JC.
Yep.
So that's like, how I have not cried in every book since Everblaze. Mm-hmm. So, anything else for Kenrick? Anything else for him?
I don't think so, except I want to believe it. I really do.
Yeah. I feel like you just want to figure out which one is right.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Yeah, I really do. I'm just so scared to believe it because it's such a perfect happy ending.
Yeah, and every one of them has such, like, proofs and destroys.
If he's her dad, I don't think he's alive.
Is JC now maybe hoping that he's not? Maybe?
See, if he's...
I see what you're saying. Like, it would be too many.
It's too perfect.
She she says again.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, you're confusing me.
That's what I'm here for.
I don't want to believe it, but I do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, we're going to talk about the others.
Thank you for listening to the Forbidden Cities podcast. Leave us a review and tell a friend about the podcast if you liked us. Email us with comments and episode suggestions at theforbiddencitiespodcast@gmail.com. And to follow us on Instagram, just search @ForbiddenCitiesPodcast.